Hi, this is Corey Turner, and along with my wife Simone, we are the senior pastors of Pneuma Church. I wanted to thank you for listening to our podcast today. You're about to hear a message from one of our team that we pray builds your faith and empowers you to follow Jesus more closely. Enjoy the message.
Okay, let's get into the Word of God. If you've been with us for a couple of weeks, we have started a conversation around the kingdom of God. And it's actually a really important one because the Lord is changing our paradigm to a root issue, which is that Christianity is not a religion. We need to get that embedded in our spirit. Christianity is not a religion. Christianity, from its formation in the book of Genesis, has been a kingdom. God is a great king. He has a royal family. Ever since creation, he is known as King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He is not the King of Subjects. And unless we can get our head around the kingdom of God and not turn it into some kind of mystical fog, I tell you, we can go down a long way into Christianity and miss the point. We are part of a kingdom. Kingdom that he says he made us a kingdom of kings and priests. So we saw together in the first installment of this what it is to be a kingdom. What the kingdom of God is, a domain, a sphere that God has delegated to mankind. That's you and I. That has not gone out of fashion because we are in 2022. There's a delegation. In the beginning, in the book of Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, he says, let us create man in our image. Let them have dominion. Let them. Hello. We looked at that. Let them. He did not say let us, because that is a delegation. He gave mankind a sphere, a dominion of control on behalf of the living God. You and I, according to the word of God, are meant to rule the earth and subdue it. So we have a kingdom that we are to walk in. You know, that's a real different mindset to people that are paupers and are begging God for stuff. Last week, we began to unpack what it is to express kingdom prayer. It's really important that our prayer lives transition from a religious practice to kingdom prayer. Kingdom prayer is really different. That's why the disciples, they saw so many rabbis pray. They saw holy men pray back in the Old Testament. They saw all of that. But when they saw Jesus pray, that was different. And that's why that was the one thing they requested. Lord, teach us to pray. Because we could see that something shifts when you pray. We can see it's intangible, but the kingdom of God, we experience it when you pray. Teach us to pray. And we began to see last week how the Lord began to teach them. He said, when you pray, say, our Father in heaven. We saw that in those two words, the our Father, the beareth covenant, the family covenant. You don't have to beg God. God's given everything through a beareth covenant to you. God's exchanged it all. Our Father, a beautiful relationship that you and I belong to. He says, our Father in heaven. And again, we saw the kingdom structure. God is not localizing his presence to heaven. He is talking about the interchange between heaven and earth when it comes to our function in prayer. And we began to unpack that together. Today, I want to take us on a journey of starting to unpack your prayer and kingdom power. There's a massive relationship between your prayer and kingdom power, or your prayerlessness and kingdom anemia. So going back to the book of Luke, the Lord taught the Our Father. Because of time, I'm not going to go there today, but I want to take us at least to 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1 to platform our conversation. Apostle Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1, he says, therefore I exhort First of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for all men. If you can please just leave it up there for a moment. Paul wrote the epistle to Timothy because he was telling a bishop of churches on how to conduct himself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, how to run church. He says, I desire or I exhort that first of all, supplications, prayers, thanksgiving be made. Now, I need us to see that the priority of the Holy Spirit for every and any church is prayer. I exhort that first of all, before all things, prayer. If we're going to build a church, he said, if you're going to build the kingdom of God, if the kingdom of God is going to infiltrate a community, a city, families, generations, the church must be prayerful. He says, I desire, first of all, the first priority must be prayer. Now notice, he says, it goes on, and then it says that thanks be made for all men, all. You know why? Because there is nothing outside, no circumstance and no human is outside the influence of prayer. You can have everyone and everything turn around by prayer. You know what? We're not seeing much movement because we ain't praying much. And I'm not talking about long extended prayers. I'm talking about effective prayers. The Bible says that the effective fervent prayer, not the long prayer, of a righteous man avails much. It means it changes much. It does much. Kingdom prayer is so important. We need to see that there's a massive correlation between your prayer and what God does in your life and in our city and in our communities. If the church is silent, so will heaven be. If the church opens up its mouth in prayer, believing prayer, the Lord will unleash power. God is actually counting on your prayer. That's biblical. Do you know in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 22 and verse 30, the Lord once wanted to save a particular scenario, which we won't go into, but the Lord says, I looked for a man to stand in the gap, and I could not find one, so I did not save. Really, Lord? He said there was no one there to mediate. There was no one there to speak on behalf of heaven. There was no one there to pray into a situation. There was no one there. So I couldn't do it. What? That's exactly what John Wesley said. He said that without God, we cannot. Without man, God will not. Do you know we've handed over some stuff, but God is actually waiting on the church to pray. It wasn't long ago. Somebody here at Numa came and shared this story that I think is incredible, but at the same time, it's really ordinary. This person was telling me that she's got a friend overseas, one of her really good friends overseas. That one night, her friend who was pregnant, one night she had a dream about her friend, and that her friend was at a stop of a shopping center staircase, and she was awoken by the reality of that she could see her friend at the top of the stairs, but she could also see that she began to tilt and was going to fall over. So she abruptly woke up. She said, oh, what is that, Lord? And really felt the Spirit of God saying, pray protection over your friend. So she did. She spent a few minutes just kind of like interceding, Lord, let no harm come to her. Let no harm come to her baby, et cetera, et cetera. A couple of days later, she's on the phone to her friend. She says to her, hey, a couple of days ago, I had this crazy dream. And then she shares the dream and shares what she was praying. Her friend on the other side of her phone is sobbing. And says to her, do you know, 2 days ago, I was at a shopping center at the top of a staircase, and I my feet began to stumble, and I was about to fall over, pregnant at 7 months, but I felt an invisible hand push me back, and I got my balance back. And she said, I thought that was a miracle, but now I understand the miracle. Now I understand that divine intervention happened because someone prayed. Can I suggest to us many miracles awaiting prayer? That the devil has convinced us that we are insipid and that we are weak and that we can do nothing. If you believe the lie, you become the lie. The truth is, there is power in your mouth to unleash the authority and the power of heaven. God wants us to know that. This is not about religion anymore. This is about bringing kingdom order. There is power and authority in your mouth to literally unleash, release the power of heaven. That's why Jesus said, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Matter of fact, open up with me to the book of Luke chapter 9. Have a look at this. Book of Luke chapter 9 and verses 1 and 2. He called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority. Can you see those two words? They're very important. He gave them power and authority over all demons, cure diseases, sent them to preach the kingdom of God. See, authority is the capacity that you have, you and I have, every single one of us, if you are born again. It's the capacity that you have because of your position in Christ. That's a transaction that is positional. As soon as you are a son or a daughter of God, there's a signet ring that goes on your hand. The prodigal returns, gets a signet ring upon his return because you become seated in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You don't earn authority, you get given authority. Authority happens because you are seated in the heavenly places in Christ because you are born again. Power, which we'll see in a bit, is the capacity that you have due to the presence of the Holy Spirit within you. But we'll come back to that. Let's stay on authority just for a moment so that we can begin to marinate in these truths. Do you know the disciples, we saw Luke chapter 9, that's with a 12. Luke chapter 10, the Lord Jesus does exactly the same thing with a 70. Sends them out, gives them authority and power. Exactly over the same things, over demons, diseases, division, all the work of the enemy. Who knows that the Son of God came to our planet to destroy the works of the devil? He doesn't want wreckage in your life. He doesn't want wreckage in cities. God has come to redeem. Who believes God is still on the same agenda? God means redemption, restoration, to make all things new. That's his agenda. So what we see here, the disciples going out, then they come back to Jesus in the book of Luke chapter 10 and verse 17. They say this incredible thing. They say, Lord, they're so happy, even demons are subject to us in your name. Subject. Even demons are subject to us. Even demons obey us in your name. Now the word subject in the Greek is the word hupotasso. The word hupotasso means to arrange under. What they were saying to him, Lord, when we got sent out and we realized what was going on and we invoked in your name as you taught us, we realized that we are not in a horizontal tug of war with demons, that we are in a vertical chain of command and we are higher up the chain. I want to tell you that every son and daughter of Christ needs to get a revelation through practice, not through information. Needs to get a revelation that you are higher up the chain and you command in the name of Jesus. 2 days ago, I was interstate doing something and there was a particular manifestation of a demon in a particular thing, and guess what the Lord did? The Lord brought deliverance in the name of Jesus, and that demon went flying. You know why? Not because, It's because authority is given to sons and daughters. He has made us kings and priests. And that's available to every single one of us. When you pray, you release kingdom authority. That means the devil does not have negotiating power. Don't negotiate. Authority. Authority means you command. That's what they saw in Jesus. They saw that wherever Jesus went, hell trembled. You know why hell trembled? Because Jesus in his prayer life was so intimate and sweet and beautiful and tender when he spoke to the Father. that he was fierce when he commanded enemies. Can I ask us, please don't let things go out of this order in our life. You have got enough authority to pray things back into right order. If something is out of order, we're not bystanders. We are God's executive. You are God's executive team. The reason God is showing you the disorder is so that you can bring kingdom order. But then there's another thing that happens that maybe I want to spend the rest of our time having a conversation around. Your prayer and kingdom power. Because while authority is the capacity due to your position, power is the capacity due to his presence within you. Now, please hear this. We find that in the book of Luke, chapter 24, verse 49, Jesus says to the disciples, he says to them, remain in Jerusalem until you are endued with power, until you are clothed with power from on high. We find he says again in the book of Acts, chapter 8, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And we find that what the disciples did in the book of Acts, chapter 1, verses 12 to 14, is that they were with one accord praying. Prayer will make you and I receive kingdom power. Prayer is the conduit of kingdom power. Do you know why there is no manifestation of kingdom power? It's because there's prayerlessness. What are we talking about when we say kingdom power? Are we talking about somebody yelling? Yelling scripture and yelling truth? That's not what we're talking about. You could be as softly spoken as anything. You could be a whisper, but filled with kingdom power. Are we talking about a formula? Because here's the vulnerability in Pentecostalism, let's be honest. Sometimes we have learnt behaviors rather than revelation. In Jesus' name, whoa. Now that's cool, if that's how you pray, I'm not mocking that. But I'm just saying, is that what power is? Is power is that you turn into kind of like the Incredible Hulk or something? You get goosebumps? None of those things are necessarily anything to do with that. Power is about doing God's will in God's capacity. Hello? Doing God's will in God's capacity. You know what that capacity is? Check this out. Book of Ephesians, chapter 1. Check this out. Church, we got to be reminded of God's truth. Book of Ephesians, chapter 1 and verses 19. Paul says, I pray that you will continually experience. Can you notice that it's not an event? Come on, stay with me. I'm working hard. You know how hot it is up here in jeans? No idea. And even on lights and stuff. You know, I did say this morning because I think we've got a problem with the aircon. I was going to push the friendship. I was going to come in my beach gear. But then I thank God for the wisdom of the leadership. They were like, no. This is only your second week. The church won't cope with that. But I'm just giving you a heads up. February's hot. You know what I'm saying? Anything can happen. Jesus help. Anyway, I pray that you continually experience the immeasurable greatness of God's power. Apostle Paul believes that the church can have a continual experience, not an event, not a one-off time, a continual experience, listen to this, of the immeasurable greatness of God's power made available by faith. Then your lives will be an advertisement. Oh, come on. Oh, come on. Who would like their life to be an advertisement for God? Oh, come on. Of this immense power as it works through you. Wow. The power of God could work through God's people to bring right order, God's will, God's capacity coming through you. This is the mighty power that was released when God raised Christ from the dead. Now, this is mind-blowing. This is the bit where I don't even know how to digest that by my head. Because you know what the Apostle Paul's teaching here? That the immeasurable greatness of the power is available to the church and through the church. But then he goes on to say, this is the power. This is the one and the same power that was released by God when he raised Christ from the dead. Whoa, hang on. Let's go to the tomb for a second. Jesus dead 3 days. In the Arabian desert, perhaps his body's starting to decompose or something, but it did not, because he would not allow his Holy One to see corruption. But here's what was happening spiritually. I need us to see this. Every demon of hell was at that grave trying to keep him down. Because if you can keep him down, guess what? Paul says, if there was no resurrection, then our faith is in vain. If Christ did not rise from the dead, then our faith is in vain. Then the devil has eternally won. Then we are not redeemed. Every demon of hell was at the grave wanting to keep Jesus down. But even all the demons combined, God by his power raised Jesus from the dead. Paul is saying that is the power that is available to and through believers. My. Can you see what we're talking about here? Can you see that we have settled for way less than what God has? Can you see that we are robbed day by day? How has Satan convinced us that we can't do anything? How has he lied to us so much that we somehow believe that we really can't change anything and we can't do anything when the Lord has promised this immeasurable power of his greatness? The immeasurable power, I don't want to spend too much time on it, but here's what I want to say. What you receive is not tingles. What you receive is not goosebumps. What you receive, as you saw there, is not a visitation. You know that the power that we are talking about is a person? You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You know what that power is? It literally means the infilling of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the person of power. He is the King of power who has come to judge the ruler of this world. Do you know what happens when you and I pray? When you and I pray, we are filled with the person of the Holy Spirit. Do you know, if you take a cup of coffee or a cup of tea and it's just plain coffee or just plain tea, it is what it is. But now if you take a bit of milk and you put it inside and you stir it, guess what happens? The milk and the coffee are now inseparable, right? You can't separate your coffee from your milk anymore. Now you've got a different drink. Now you've got tea milk, coffee milk, right? True? You can't separate it. Do you know what happens when you pray and you get filled with the Spirit of God? Exactly the same as that. What begins to manifest, that's why it's written that the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. See, it's one thing to have a gift. It's another thing to manifest the gift. I can give you a lamp, but until you switch on the light, see, there's a gift and there's its manifestation. Some believers, many believers, have got the gift of the Holy Spirit, but there's no active occupation of the Holy Spirit. There's no manifestation of the Holy Spirit. The infilling of the Holy Spirit, the union with the Holy Spirit, can only happen in prayer. That's why the book of Acts chapter 4, verse 29, they were threatened, they were opposed. The early disciples. So you know what they did? They prayed. Listen to this. They said, "Now, Lord, look on their threats. Grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hands to heal, that signs and wonders would be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus." Now, the Bible records when they had prayed, the place where they were gathered was shaken together and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God with power. They were afraid. The spirit of fear came against them. The intimidation of the enemy came against them. But you know what? When they stood in prayer, the righteous become as bold as a lion. All of a sudden, they are filled to the brim with the person of the Holy Spirit. All of a sudden, greater is He who is in me than he who is in the world. All of a sudden, they're not subject to the ways of Satan, but they overcome. They become the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. That's what the Lord wants. I really want to thank those. We began just this Tuesday gone, praying together from 9 to 12. We said, hey, as staff, this is what we're going to do at East. We're going to pray together every Tuesday from 9 to 12. If anybody wants to come, you know, feel free to come. Feel free to drop in. Feel free to, if you've got half an hour, drop in, etc. Thank God we had people take time off work and come and join us. I love you, church. That's the way. Come on. Because that's what we're going to see. We're going to see right things adjusted in the kingdom, in your world, and in our community. The eastern suburbs shall be revived in the name of Jesus. God has not planted us here, you know that, for cute church. God has planted us here for transformation. Our eyes shall see it. We shall see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And thank you, Jesus, that there's men and women right in this house that believe the Lord for a move of God. I want to invite you, doesn't matter where you are in this spectrum, in this journey, you could be right at the beginning. Don't feel like you'll ever be left behind. Even if you're right at the beginning and you're trying to figure things out, it's all good. Keep on coming on the journey. You could be right at the tip. You're on fire. You're good to go. Okay, come on. Let's help everyone along and let's do this together. No matter where you are, this church in the mighty name of Jesus shall be a river of the Holy Spirit. No one shall be left behind. I'm telling you, don't look at yourself in your current state and going, oh, but I don't feel the things that some people... Don't worry about that. I want to tell you that the presence of God is not about getting tingles. The presence of God is a permanent arrangement, not a visitation. That's why in 2 Corinthians it says, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God actively indwells you? He actively occupies. What we talk about when we talk about prayer releasing kingdom power is that as you pray, Psalm 81 and verse 10, please take this down. Psalm 81 and verse 10. Open up your mouth wide and I shall fill it. You know what God is daring His people to do? No matter how big your prayer is, I'm going to super exceed it. I'm going to hyper abound it. We don't worship a mini God. Please don't insult God by mini prayers. We don't worship a mini God. God does not give the spirit by measure. God does not give the anointing by quantity. All of these things have been purchased in Christ for you and I this very day. God wants to clothe you in union with the Holy Spirit so that you walk in power. I want to tell you what happens when that happens. Little simple me, little simple you become carriers of God. As you go about your daily business as a carrier of God, because you are a carrier of God, it puts a demand on things around you to change. By nature of even just your presence, because it's not about who you are, it's about what you carry. Who knows that if I came in here with a bunch of flowers, probably the women will go, ooh, he's a romantic. But if I came in here with a gun... Don't worry, I never will. But if I came in here with a gun, someone would be thinking, okay, is he a cowboy or a murderer? I've gone from romantic to murderer just because of what I carry. Can you see that it's not about you and I? It's about who we carry. Who we carry. As you pray, you carry the presence of God. If I could just be your pastor for a little bit and tell you this, if there's one thing that I beg you, look, here's me begging. I promise you, I beg you. If I can just beg you for one thing, beg you, Numer East, every day. I'm not even talking about how much time. I'm talking about just every day, at some point in the day, preferably before you start your day. But if it can't be managed, I understand. But please, every day, open up the Word of God and just spend a few minutes in prayer. That's all I ask you. Just every day. I don't care if it's 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 20, an hour, two, three. I'm not talking quantity. I'm talking getting soaked in the presence of God daily. That's all I'm talking. You watch what happens. You're going to change. You'll find that everything about you, your priorities change. Your thinking changes, your feelings change, your calibration, your relationship to money, to people, to everything, how you manage your time, everything will change. That's not your job. That's not my job. My job is to put myself at the potter's wheel and to allow the potter to do what only he can do. I'm asking us every day to be people of the presence of God. That's all I'm asking. You know what's going to happen? We're going to get so filled with the Spirit of God. We're not only going to be transformed, we are going to become transformers. The kingdom begins to take right shape right about us. I should conclude. I love it. I bring notes. I don't know why. I'm like, where are my notes, am I? Actually, I'm nowhere. Anyway. maybe let me finish up by saying this. Let me finish up by saying that when Jesus taught the disciples to pray, "Our Father in heaven," listen to this, "hallowed be your name." That the aim of all of our prayer is not to get my will done on earth, but to get the Father's will done here on earth. Not mine, but his. Not my agenda, but his. The aim of all prayer is that we see God's name hallowed. Hallowed, kept holy, revered, respected, honored, loved, because he deserves it. The aim of prayer, remember when I was saying to you last week, if God answered your prayer, would this be a better world or would you just have a better life? The aim of all prayer is not so I can have a better life. The aim of all prayer is that the one who deserves all honor and all glory can get it from your life and my life. He deserves, the one who died for you and I deserves all honor. I would ask us to commit to living a life for his honor. Hallowed be your name. The psalmist in Psalm 115 and verse 1 says, "Lord, not unto us, but to your name give glory." God doesn't want prayer answered so that you and I become famous. He never said, "Well done, good and famous servant." Effective prayer is about getting heaven's will done through and in your life. And I guarantee you, you won't miss out. Some people think, should I just live for the agenda of heaven? And they feel like they're going to be robbed. Absolutely not. Unless Jesus is a liar, which he's not. He said, "First seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." Worship team, if you can join me, please. I really want to commit to us that we begin exercising kingdom prayer again. You may have been disappointed with your prayer life. You may have felt like the vending machine where you put your prayer coins in and there's no product coming out. You may have felt that. But sometimes we ask and we ask amiss. Sometimes it's not a no, but it's just a not now. Sometimes there's a whole thing with prayer that we'll go on the journey of. But the one thing that I know, why God is arresting our attention to this, the one thing that I know for sure is that the Lord wants to unleash kingdom authority and kingdom power in and through your life to transform.
Thank you for joining us for this message today. We don't assume that every person listening has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so today, we invite you to begin following Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Bible teaches that every one of us has been created for a relationship with God. Sin has separated us from that relationship, but God loved us so much that He gave us His one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus lived, died, and rose again, conquering sin, Satan, and death itself. If we believe in our hearts that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. So if you are ready to pray in faith, turning away from your sin and believing in Jesus for your salvation, please pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, and I ask you to forgive me and cleanse my heart from all of my sin. I receive by faith the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you would fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that you have made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you have prayed that prayer for the first time, we would love to know and help connect you to a local church in your area. You can contact us on our website, pneuma.church. Thank you for listening.